Hello and a big August welcome to you. It is high noon, the first Monday of the month. That means it's time for some specialized event information here on What's Happening New Haven. You're always among friends here on listener-supported WPKN 89.5 FM. And by the by, in case you didn't know it, our beautiful WPKN is also a podcast platform for many fine programs. So if you care to peruse that list, you can always visit and revisit podcasts that are available. Just go to the WPKN.org homepage and click on podcasts in the upper left-hand corner. Keep scrolling and you'll find us there too. My name is Bonnie Likes, here with Sean Bigler, engineer, and we're here to deliver you the good news. And that would be the calendar of events, goings-on, everything high to low brow, in between, all across the general scene for the city of New Haven. And of course, it would be remiss not to dip into surrounding cities and towns. This month of August proves to be ever dynamic in terms of stuff to get out and do, which always includes music, literature, poetry readings, visual arts, special events, maybe an open mic here or there. Certainly, again, loads of live music. Always good to check in with anything going on with Planet Yale. That's Yale University. And since it's still high summer, I'm sure I've got at least one festival to share with you. And to get the motor running, I have some lively conversation queued here with a dedicated musician. With me is Ed Fast of Ed Fast and Conga Bop. Summer is going to sizzle on the Connecticut shore as Ed Fast and Conga Bop's Afro-Cuban rhythms fill the air in a performance at the Party Morris House. The event is hosted by the New Haven Museum, which owns and operates the historic site. And the Party Morris House is located at 325 Lighthouse Road. The performance is queued for August 7th, Wednesday at 7 p.m. with a rain date of Thursday, August 8th. So we'll fire up Ed Fast and Conga Bop's sound before we bring him on to talk.
Do nothing till you hear from me. Pay no attention to what's said. Why people tell it seems of anyone's dream is over my head. Do nothing till you hear from me. At least consider our romance. If you believe the words of others you've heard, I haven't got a chance. True, I've been seeing.
Ed Fast, thank you for joining us on What's Happening New Haven today. And I was really happy when you agreed to chat with me, because after looking at your background, it's easy to see you might have a road story or two to share, along with the history of this group, Ed Fast and Conga Bop. And this project looks like it generates a super exhilarating sound. So, Ed, what is the exact instrumentation of the ensemble, along with the names of who plays what?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me on this program. We're so looking forward to playing the concert. We have a quintet for this event, plus a vocalist. So we actually have six pieces. And we have, on vocals, we're going to have a special guest, Miss Yolanda Coggins. She's been singing with us recently, and she's got a beautiful voice. She does a great job with the material. And we're so looking forward to introducing her to your audience. In addition, I'll be playing the vibraphone. This is going to be based around a Cal Jader style vibraphone quintet material. Cal Jader is the great vibraphonist from the West Coast, California. We do a lot of his material. On bass, we're going to have Matt Dwanzik, and a great bassist in New York from Connecticut. We're going to have, instead of keyboard, we'll have guitar. We're going to have Johnny Gardner on guitar. He's a fabulous young guitarist from West Hartford, Connecticut. And on percussion, we're going to have George Fuentes, who's been with me for a long time playing this music. And also on timbales, we're going to have the master from New Haven, Mr. Jesse Hameen. And I'm so excited to have him playing with us on this event, because he's from New Haven and he's a big inspiration to me and many, many musicians in the area.
Well, that sounds spectacular. Now, Ed, how did you bring all these players together? Did you originally, when the group got started, run an ad, or was it through the musical grapevine, so to speak?
That's a great question. You know, first of all, this group has been around for so long in one incarnation or another. But one guy that's been with me since the very beginning is George Fuentes. And we actually started playing Latin jazz together actually about 30 years ago, and we started getting into the Cal Jada repertoire. And it's funny, but the way the music business climate and environment is these days, it's really hard to maintain a group that does not change. And so I feel like what I have, instead of a singular group, I have a family of fantastic musicians who have come together over the years through the music to play the music. And the way it is, sometimes one person might be on tour, not available, but another person is in town, loves the music, and has played with us before. So I actually have a great resource of amazing players to work with and find out who's available to come together for a certain event like this.
And it all comes together beautifully. Now, you all play creatively arranged jazz standards and some originals. Who takes care of the unique arrangements? The entire band?
That's another fantastic question. The other thing that brings the musicians together and makes the group what it is our book, our repertoire of music. And I've written the originals that Conga Bop plays, and we have several of them recorded on our first CD called Straight Shot, which is an original written by myself. And also on our newer CD, it's called Do or Die. That's the title track of our newest CD. That's also an original. And so I do all the originals, and I also do almost all the arrangement for the jazz standards. Steve Davis, the great jazz trombonist, has contributed a fantastic arrangement to our book, which is called Our Love Is Here to Stay. And we play that anytime we have the full band together with the complement of a three-horn front line. But yes, in general, I do all the originals and the arranging for the jazz standards.
So everyone is following a nice, tidy book of lead charts. Do you also improvise and just stretch out musically?
I love all these questions. Great questions, Bonnie. Yes, you know, that's what's really fun about the group is with a nicely detailed, arranged book, you can present music that is well rehearsed and very focused. Yet in every one of these arrangements, there's room for each of the musicians to express themselves just about any way they want through, you know, the jazz vocabulary. We've always had great jazz soloists with us, everyone from Steve Davis. This young guitarist, Johnny Gardner, is a fantastic soloist on guitar. I get the solo on vibraphone. And believe me, you can hear some wonderful percussion solos, too, from Jesse Hameen, from George Fuentes. And maybe I'll take a crack at the timbales here and there myself.
Sounds fantastic. Now, Ed, you say that you're playing vibraphone with this carnation, but you started out as a drummer. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. I started off in, like a lot of folks in elementary school, learning the rudiments on the drums. I started with a drum pad and learned all the rudiments of drumming and began to play in the high school band, all the concert band music. And eventually I got to college and studied with the great Alexander Lipak at the Hart School of Music. Fantastic big band drummer, composer, percussionist, timpanist with the Hartford Symphony. And by studying with him, he's one that really, really help to encourage you to learn not just to be a good drummer, but to be a great musician. And to do that, it meant learning all the percussion instruments. It meant learning about theory. It meant learning about chord voicing on the vibraphone, playing marimba, playing timpani, playing classical, really just immersing yourself in the world of percussion and music theory, all that.
Right. And Ed, I read you actually turned down a chance to play with Aretha Franklin and to go to Africa. That must have been an agonizing decision. What musical opportunity was waiting for you over in Africa?
Well, that's a great way to put it. I had the pleasure of a great privilege and honor of playing with Aretha Franklin a couple of times. once at the Bushnell in Hartford and once at the casino, Mohegan Sun Casino. And I actually had this trip to Africa already booked when the call came in to perform once again with Aretha. So I could not turn down, I mean, I had to turn down that opportunity with Aretha. But the trip to Africa was more about getting a chance to, you know, broaden my horizons, visit friends, explore, do something that's kind of been on my bucket list for forever. And I did get a chance to play over there as well, which was really enlightening and fantastic and inspiring. So a trip well worth taking, but very agonizing, yes, to have to miss an opportunity to play with the great Aretha Franklin.
But at least you had the experience of playing with her before, so that's super amazing. Now, Ed, when you have traveled and gigged internationally, do you travel with your own drum kit, or were you playing other instruments? What goes on? What happened with those shows internationally?
Yes, oftentimes with the national and international tours, I'm with a touring company, a Broadway production. When I toured with Cheetah Rivera, all the instruments were supplied for us. So I did not have to deal with, you know, bringing any of my own gear. Everything was set up when I arrived at the venue. And that's the way it usually happens with the Broadway stuff. In Russia and Moscow, the same thing. I did a fantastic production of 42nd Street in Moscow, and all the gear was there, and it was top quality stuff, so I had nothing to worry about.
Do you find that audiences in different countries respond differently to this genre of music?
Well, yes, and again, across in different countries, I'm usually doing Broadway productions, and they're very excited to see American-style, American-produced Broadway shows like 42nd Street in Moscow. In Asia, I actually did the Sound of Music all over Asia, and they were very, very receptive. The audiences loved that classic Broadway show, and it was great to be a part of a production like that and present that music.
And it sounds like morale was great. Working with a Broadway production sounds very different than the experience of Ed Fast and the Conga Bop. I'm sure that you got a lot of chart experience before your Broadway shows, but it sounds like there was some really intense chart reading with productions like that.
That's true, and that was a great, great part about my education with Alexander Lipak. He, at the Hart School of Music, like I said, he prepared me for any kind of opportunity that may come up. We learned how to read extremely well in all the mallet instruments, timpani. We also got into playing some timbales and congas, hand drumming like that, plus reading drum set, understanding how to handle a drum set chart. And because I had those skills, these opportunities came to me to tour different parts of the world, different parts of the country, all over the country with Broadway shows. Without that kind of training from Alexander Lipak, I would not be able to take advantage of those opportunities. And those opportunities have been absolutely great for me in many, many ways. But I've always, on the road, brought with me my book of Conga Bop material. And whenever possible, including in Russia, we played a Conga Bop sets for different audiences in Russia in between our Broadway performances, either afterwards or on our days off. I even played with Conga Bop in Russia with Russian musicians for a New Year's Eve party. It was just amazing, fantastic. So,
no problem.
I've had the best of both worlds.
Right, no problem with language barriers, eh?
It was great. We had amazing. A lot of the Russian musicians spoke English. And actually to you know, quite a workable degree. And if there were some Russians that did not speak English, we had translators. And it's just really amazing how being a musician and being in a production like that really brings people together. We had the best time in the orchestra pit, a lot of parties together and got invited to people's homes and a wonderful, positive sharing experience through the music productions.
I'm sure the audiences that you played to there were just filled with spiciba. So back to Ed Fast and Conga Bop. It must be tricky sometimes logistically organizing such a big band. Does the group do Plenty of extensive road trips. Are you guys queued to hit the road?
We have not done a lot of road trips. We've been mainly working in the region. We've been playing festivals in Connecticut for many years now. We've had the great honor of playing New Haven Jazz Festival, the Hartford Jazz Festival. Brantford's got a jazz and more.
So, Ed, you live in Hartford. Do you have some favorite venues in town there?
We just did a series of performances at the Goodwin Hotel, a beautiful historic boutique hotel in Hartford, and that was a lot of fun. But actually, a couple of dates that I have coming up that I'm really looking forward to are at the Iridium in New York City. We have September 8th, Sunday evening, booked to play at the Iridium in New York City, and also the following Sunday, September 15th. So if anyone's in the New Haven, New York City area, come on down, check those out. Those are going to be very exciting.
Absolutely. Thanks for mentioning those dates. And we're just about ready to wrap things up on the show here. We want to thank you for joining us on What's Happening New Haven. And your upcoming show is booked for August 7th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Party Morris House, which is located at 325 Lighthouse Road in New Haven. And Ed, is there any website or musical platform information you'd like to shout out before we say goodbye?
Yes, absolutely. You can check us out at congapop.com. We have a website there, and we try and keep that up to date with all kinds of upcoming performances. In addition to the date we have coming up in New Haven, we have August 2nd. You were talking about favorite venues in Hartford. August 2nd at Black Eyed Sally's in Hartford, a club that's been around forever and does great jazz and blues and has fantastic food, so you can check us out there. And then find us August 7th in New Haven for that performance as well. And then the Iridium September 8th and 15th.
Sounds great. Unfortunately, this broadcast will be aired on August 5th, the first Monday of the month. So that August 2nd date, I sure hope everyone can grab that somehow before hearing it here. This of course, is also a podcast, so people can listen to it after the noon hour on Monday, August 5th today. So we want to thank you again, Ed Fast of Ed Fast Conga Bop. We wish you wonderful shows ahead and have a great summer.
Thank you, Bonnie. Great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a great day, Ed. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Ed Fast and the Conga Bop there. This is their cut, Stealing the Deal. And again, they'll be at the Party Morris House in New Haven Wednesday, August 7th. Show starts at 8 p.m. If you're just hopping on our little red wagon of fun, this is the daring and listener-supported WPKN 89.5 FM coming at you from Bridgeport, Connecticut. I'm Bonnie Likes here with audiophile Sean Bigler, and we are stirring this show up to cook for you, What's Happening New Haven. We're here every first Monday of the month at noon and beyond because our good buddies here at WPKN also have us on the podcast platform there on the website, where you can access this program along with so many other wonderful hosts with a myriad of themes and content. Speaking of that, let's do what we try and do best here on this show and take that full body dive into the August calendar for events, happenings, and cultural enrichment happening in New Haven and surrounding areas. So, what do Gary Trudeau and John Mellencamp, oh, and Carrie Fisher, have in common? If you'd like to ponder this, you may want to absorb The More is More, where George Corsillo chronicles his design career packaging celebrities large and small. This is over at the Keeler Liddell Gallery. This new retrospective not only guides visitors on Corsillo's personal journey, but also gives a glimpse into the development of the graphic design styles of the 80s and 90s. Apparently, in the early days, Corsillo assembled designs with mechanical paste-ups, cutting and pasting to create press-ready art. But today, as one might expect, his work is all computer-based. Now, his early work in the forefront of postmodern and new wave design helped transform the graphic design field, appropriating pop art imagery and modernist collage techniques, and using an irreverent approach to type and a shocking color palette. The end product became a rock and roll punk style with a twist. This exhibit again is at the Kaler Liddell Gallery, 873 Wally Avenue in New Haven, running through to August 18th. August 9th, Friday at 8 p.m., Brahms Sextet and Schubert Quintet will perform at the Katharine Hepburn Cultural Arts Center. Chestnut Hill presents a Brahms String Sextet and a Schubert String Quintet. Chestnut Hill also welcomes back the Amarnet String Quartet. A reception with the artists will follow the concert. That is August 9th, Friday at 8 p.m. at the Katharine Hepburn Cultural Arts Center, located at 300 Main Street in Old Saybrook, Connecticut. August 10th, Saturday at 9 in the morning, you and yours are invited to Farm Day at the Dudley Farm Farmers Market. In honor of National Farmers Market Week, come visit the historic Dudley Farm Museum and its Livestock, Gardens, and Farmhouse Museum. You can shop in the Farmers Market and participate in time-honored games that families play together. Feed bag races, tug of war, cornhole, making scarecrows, duck, duck, goose. It's all waiting for you. Old MacDonald Had a Farm, Corn Sandbox R2, special visit from First Selectman Matt Hoey, and the G-Monkey Vegan Food Truck. It's all going down at Dudley Farm, located at 2351 Durham Road in Guilford. That's August 10th, Saturday at 9 in the morning.
¿Por qué me arrastro a tus pies? ¿Por qué me doy tanto a ti? ¿Y por qué no pido nunca nada cambio para mí?
Also on August 10th, later on in the day when the clock strikes one, it will be time for the 4th annual Puerto Rican Festival of New Haven to begin. The fun and culture takes place on the New Haven Green, and the festival's mission is to empower the Puerto Rican community through promoting education, social advancement, and celebrating and preserving the rich culture. The festival was created because of the growing demand from Puerto Ricans living in New Haven area to relaunch a Puerto Rican festival in the city. Many apparently recall the days when the New Haven Puerto Rican Day Parade and Luisa Festival were all signs that summer had arrived. And the objective is to celebrate and preserve their culture through cultural events such as the festival Puerto Riqueño de New Haven. This is going down on August 10th, Saturday at 1 p.m. Again, it's the 4th annual Puerto Rican Festival of New Haven on the New Haven Green. Thursday, 8 p.m., Kalita and Super Yamba Band with Peace and Rhythm DJs will be at the State House. Brooklyn Afro-Funksters Kalita and Super Yamba Band are fronted by Afrobeat veteran Leon Majek, a.k.a. Kalita. The singer, guitarist, and percussionist from the West African country of Benin Republic lived his adolescent life in Lagos, Nigeria, where Afrobeat was born. Kalita performed and toured the world with the gods, Fela Kuti and King Sunny Ade, along with Majik Fashek, and recently, Lauryn Hill. Here's Kalita and Super Yamba Band with the cut, Mr. Diva. That's Kalita and Super Yamba Band with the cut Mr. Diva. They are set to be at the State House with Peace and Rhythm DJs on August 8th, Thursday, starting at 8 p.m. You're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM, and this is What's Happening New Haven. My name is Bonnie Likes, here with Sean Bigler running some tunes, and we're diving into the August calendar for you for New Haven and surrounding areas. Up next, August 10th, that's a Saturday, starting at 4 p.m. There's a Rhapsodic Dance Gathering. This will be occurring at the Yogi Boho Fitness Center. What is Rhapsodic Dance, you ask? Well, this would be the experience of allowing the music to move you and set you free from stress. Finding the peace within. No talking, just apparently listening and moving the body to rhythms of Motown classics, indie, house lounge, and ending with calming yogic music and a surprise feel-good song. Dress is casual, of course, no shoes, and you're invited to join the dancing and leave feeling free and at peace, calm, relaxed, and happy. If you want to consider the notion to attend, you're invited to email Sharon Bailey at Yoga Boho Fitness, that's Y-O-G-I-B-O-H-O, the word fitness, at gmail.com for more info and to RSVP. And on August 11th, Sunday at 1 p.m., Yale University Art Gallery is the place to be for a family program, Stories and Art. On the second Sunday of each month, families are invited to join in for folktales, myths, and exciting stories from around the world that highlight unique features of objects in the collection there at the gallery and will inspire children, hopefully of all ages, to view art in new ways. No registration is required, and all can meet by the couches in the gallery lobby. This is open to the general public, and here with us this hour is Jessica Sachs, the Jan and Frederick Mayer Senior Associate Curator for the gallery, who will illuminate this program for us. Jessica Sachs, welcome to What's Happening New Haven.
Thank you, Bonnie, for having me today.
Our pleasure. So, Jessica, could you give us an overview of this family-oriented program you've curated at the Yale Art Gallery, which happens every second Sunday at 1 p.m., is that correct?
Yes. Stories and Art is a long-standing program. We began it around 2006 as a way to really think about ways to engage with families and young people in particular. And it's a monthly program that happens year-round. This is the second summer that it happens all summer long as well. And it's an opportunity for families to come to the museum and think about what listening to a story and looking at art can do. So what new observations do people see? What new ideas do they come up with when they see an image on the wall or an object on display and listen to a story that either relates to the culture or the time period, or ideas the artist was thinking about when they made their work.
Sounds like you're molding the impulse for critical thinking, which sounds great. And how long have you been organizing the program, Jessica?
So I started at the gallery in 2004, and this was something that was developed in collaboration with graduate students, gallery teachers who teach in the museum with me. And starting in 2006 and 2007, we really piloted this new family program as a way to engage with New Haven youth and families in the area.
And is it specifically geared toward younger eyes and ears, or would adults find the subject matter very compelling too?
Funny you ask. There have been a number of times that parents have chosen not to bring their children because listening to a story in the museum setting can be a way for anybody to really think about what they see and what something's all about. So while kids are the main focus, stories appeal to people of all ages.
That was my first thought as well when I read the brief description on the New Haven Arts Council calendar. And how do you feel stories and myths potentially tie, how can they potentially tie into a child's perspective of art? And how can they shift a young viewpoint?
Yeah, so little kids are learning a lot about the world through stories, whether it's from a family sharing stories about their own family to children's books to picture books, and they're learning the world through observation. And so a story is a great way to help a kid learn to focus their attention in an object, in an artwork. And so we tell stories from around the world, whether it's about the boy who liked to draw cats, and it's a boy whose parents wanted him to be a really good writer, but he turned out to be a really good drawer, or stories from sort of history, sort of literature that's been adapted for kids that an artist has also used to make an image of.
So interesting, and I imagine that a lot of their own stories from their own home environments will come forth when they see the visuals in front of them and hear the stories tied.
We've had kids who, you know, we tell stories about dragons one month, and they come in and they want to look at dragons all over the whole museum. So they check other places around the world where dragons are part of traditions and images of dragons are, and so they'll look for those. So it's really a fun way to think about how people and art from around the world can find commonalities.
Now, are you delving into any creation myths with any of the stories?
We do creation myths. We every month we think about two different spots in the museum that can be brought together, and that can be brought together through a theme, through an idea of practice, and we think about what those stories could look like and where they would take place.
Now,
and then,
yes. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Please continue, Jessica. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. So we throughout the course of the 12 months, we will go to, you know, 24 different locations in the museum and think at least about, you know, tons of different objects in this kind of way.
Oh, how wonderful. And so the exhibits and stories will change with each meeting. And how long will the meeting stretch into, just till the end of September or October?
It's year-round, and it's the second Sunday of every month throughout the entire year. And families, if there's no registration and no fee, families just come into the lobby of the museum and we meet by the couches and we go from there. And if the group is extra large, we divide into smaller groups because we have a number of gallery teaching staff who are always there to work with the groups.
Does the program take place for the story part in a very select area, or do you walk and talk the stories as you tour?
No, we go to a specific object. For instance, this boy who loves to draw cats. This is a story that we love to tell in front of Japanese screens, folding screens. And sometimes we've had screens that have stories, images of cats on them, or of children, or of people. And the idea is that in front of that object, everybody sits down and they look really closely for a while. And then we tell the story, and then we go back to looking. And then sometimes we bring out other activities to do, like drawing. We also have fabric strips and felt to think about making things in response to what you see.
That was my next question. I was wondering if there was a hands-on environment where kids create their own art, and if materials were provided at all. But perhaps that doesn't take up a lot of time with the program. Is it sort of at the end?
It's either throughout or at the end, and it also depends on the age of the group. We try to be really responsive to the kids that are there. And so if it's a lot of kids that are, you know, 5, 6, 7, we may do more hands-on in addition to the storytelling. And if they're under 3, we may do a little bit of hands-on, but mostly storytelling.
Great. And are you always present, and do any of the artists ever come talk about their exhibits?
So I am often there. There's always teaching staff there. And depending, we haven't had the art. I mean, we're looking at art that's from, you know, 2,000 years ago to today.
Yes.
So we have some space-time limitations. But it's really about what the audience sees, not necessarily what we know or what it's really about building observation skills. If that makes sense. So it's not a presentation.
Oh, yes. Yes, and perhaps planting the seeds to have a discerning interest in art.
Exactly, or just being even more visually aware of things around them. So if we're focusing on sort of how artists use certain shapes, for a 2 to 3-year-old to go out and identify where these shapes are happening in their own three-dimensional world outside the museum, it's building a visual vocabulary. And for older kids who are learning more about sort of social interactions and social engagements, to realize that an artist can be, in just one image, sharing all different types of aspects of a story, and then realizing in other things that they see in their lives that may be happening too.
So adults by themselves are invited, but it is a family-oriented program.
Everybody is invited. Anyone's invited. Everyone and anyone is invited. The intended audience is children. And so just know that.
Yes. Well, it sounds like a good diversion just to get out and see something different, perhaps, than a computer screen.
I think so. And it's also just a wonderful way to spend a Sunday afternoon. And then people often just spend more time after the activity just being in the galleries. And there are often a drop-in highlights tours available as well at the gallery.
Excellent. Jessica Sachs, thank you for joining us on What's Happening New Haven today. And would you like to share a website with the listeners where they can check out more details?
Sure. The gallery's website is www.artgallery.yale.edu. And on that is a calendar of events and descriptions of programs that are happening. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for these contributions to our community. And again, thanks for talking with me, Jessica. Enjoy your August.
Thank you.
Continuing our swim through the waves of calendar dates rippling our way for August, this is WPKN 89.5, and this is also What's Happening New Haven. Still have a lot to tell you about up ahead, and there's just so many ways to enjoy the ease of summer mobility. And here is a way to combine sun and sport. If you've ever wanted to try your hand with a bow and arrow, you certainly could make it happen over at the Quinnipiac River Archery Park, which boasts 16 field archery lanes. The park is located in Wallingford, Connecticut. So if you're interested, you can find them with a quick online search, Quinnipiac Archery Park, Wallingford, Connecticut. They offer field and group lessons and parties and events as well. Now looking over at August 16th, Friday, 6 p.m., the Inside Out solo exhibition with Susan Clenard is going to have on at the Five Points Gallery. Susan Clenard's new body of work will be on display, where she takes the internal world and makes it visible. Inside Out is her collection of assemblage installations, wielded and stretched canvas wall sculptures, and small ceramic vessels that ask the viewer to step inside both the public and private histories of inequality, trauma, racism, and above all else, beauty. Clenard's work, known for its socially conscious and feminist themes, pushes her voice forward with this new installation, the use of minimalistic, stark white compositions of a grander, larger-than-life scale, offers a powerful contrast to her earlier work. This has been deemed a hauntingly beautiful exhibit. Again, it's August 16th, Friday at 6 p.m., Inside Out is the title, and will be showing at the Five Points Gallery on 33 Main Street in Torrington, Connecticut. And also August 16th, Friday at 7 p.m., the Solidarity film series continues. The title is When They See Us, and it will be at the New Haven People Center at 37 House Street. And this is parts 3 and 4. Description: in 1989, five Black and Latino teens from Harlem were framed up and convicted of raping a white woman in New York's Central Park, known as the Central Park Five. This is the story of the rush to judgment by police, media, and Donald Trump, with the five lives upended by this horrific miscarriage of justice and systemic racism. It was released in May 2019, and there will be a discussion to follow. Again, parts 3 and 4 will be viewed on August 16th, Friday at 7 p.m. If you want to catch these final parts, it will be at the New Haven People Center, 37 House Street, New Haven. August 16th, Saturday at 8 p.m., Lip Gloss Crisis is the name of the place, and it's located at 310 State Street in New Haven, and they are calling all mermaids and seamen. The Statehouse Cabaret is back this summer with an under-the-sea themed production. It will be a huge splash. So polish off your snorkels and go, go, go on down to Statehouse if you wish. That's August 17th, Saturday at 8 p.m. Then August 19th, Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the Ives Squared, which is at 133 Elm Street in New Haven. Okay, get this, y'all. Learn how to make a custom-shaped doormat. That is a fun way to bring your personality to your doorstep, right to your front door. The good folks there will show you the steps and the necessary tools and supplies needed to easily trace and cut out any shape you desire for a doormat using their circuit maker, some sort of device, I guess, that helps to shape and cut. This is August 19th, Monday at 4 p.m. at Ives Squared, 133 Elm Street in New Haven. So, another thing happening at Ives Square, too, is you can build a 3D virtual world for a virtual reality experience, animated films and video games using the Unreal Engine, apparently. Students will create their own 3D environment filled with foliage, weather, animals, and a lot more. Every session will cover a different type of world and skill, and you're free to attend one session or all of them. It is open to ages 13 and up, so if you want to, you can register at the link provided on the Ives Squared website, as space is limited. And I believe this is offered several times over the weeks, but certainly on August 20th, Tuesday at 6 p.m. And the library director told me that everyone's virtual world they create turns out extremely uniquely, so everybody's different. And all are invited to contact Ives Squared, the New Haven Free Public Library, for more details. August 22nd, Thursday at 10 in the morning, you can enjoy a day in Woodstock, Connecticut, starting at the beautiful Gothic Revival style Roseland Cottage. The house is instantly recognizable, apparently, for its pink exterior, and has an equally colorful interior featuring elaborate wall carvings, heavily patterned carpets, and stained glass, much of which survived unchanged from the Victorian era. You can spend time in the cottage's gardens during lunch, followed by Victorian Secrets, Bustles, Bloomers, and the Women of Roseland Cottage, a lecture they'll give about the fashionable Victorian silhouette. Then on to Sharp Hill Vineyard for a sampling of their delicious wines while taking in the views of the quiet country setting. The price would include transportation, a lecture, guided tour, admission, and wine samples with a souvenir glass, and you are invited to bring your own bagged lunch if you're interested in attending. There is limited seating for 11 people and pre-registration is required. If this sounds like a Victorian dream come true, you're invited to contact the Mattituck Museum. That's mattmuseum.org. Since the water is still nice and warm, why don't we stick a toe into September to get some fresh musical input? On September 8th, Sunday at 7 p.m., as part of the East Rock Concert Series at 285 Nicole Street, Mactivity Cafe Bar in New Haven is bringing on Magic Dick of Jay Giles Band with the young guitar phenom Shung Nig. Fuse soul, funk, blues, and jazz. Magic Dick, the legendary harmonica player for Boston's Jay Giles Band, has partnered with guitar and vocal sensation Shun Nig to create one of the most dynamic musical acts to come out of Boston in a long time. Here now is Magic Dick and Shun Nig jamming on Papa's Got a Brand New Bag.
Too hip about the new remake. brand new bag. Come here, mama, and make this crazy scene. He's not too fancy, but his line is pretty clean. He ain't no drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
That's Magic Dick of Jay Giles Band and guitar phenom Sean Nigg with Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, who will both be laying down some more jams with the East Rock Concert Series at 285 Nicole Street, Mactivity Cafe Bar in New Haven, September 8th, Sunday at 7 p.m. And for our final sneak peek into September, just sticking a toe into the next month, on the 10th, Tuesday at 8 p.m., La Chamba will be at the State House. State House is at 310 State Street in New Haven. And La Chamba transports the textures of the 60s and 70s Amazonian Peruvian surf pop, chicha, to the present-day reality of life in the concrete jungle of L.A. Their world is infused with psychedelic guitars, lush organs, and sweaty synths over a hypnotic, heavy-grooving dance floor of fiery Afro-Latin rhythms, reminiscent of L.A.'s high-energy swagger and charm. Their signature chamba tone plays homage to Peru's rich vintage chicha spirit with a sonic stamp that is distinctly Angelino. Here's their cut, La Danza del Pacuro.
Thank you.
saca tu pareja, te invito a bailar. Está en la cumbia, danzalo, pacurro, saca tu pareja, te invito a bailar. Está en la cumbia, danzalo, pacurro, saca tu pareja, te invito a bailar. Está en la cumbia, danzalo, pacurro, saca tu pareja, te invito a bailar.
That's La Chamba doing La Danza del Pacuro. They are set to perform at the State House on September 10th at 8 p.m. This brings our calendar to a close for today. This program is brought to you by our mutual friends at WPKN 89.5 FM, listener-supported radio, and the podcasts of this program and many others will stay available to you on the WPKN webpage. My name is Bonnie Likes, here with engineer Sean Bigler, and this has been the most recent edition of What's Happening New Haven, here every first Monday of the month at noon. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the bustling scene that's right outside your door. So much to see and do and celebrate. Up next is Rick Petrone with the Jazz Sound, and we'll be back with you next month. Have a color-filled festive August. Till then.